Hi everyone. So today I'm going to talk about some of the commonalities I've seen between those who are wealthy and those who are not wealthy. So not just from the figures, but from the people that I've met, the clients that I've seen, the friends, family, associates and so on. What commonalities can I see between those who are wealthy and those who are not? Are there any trends that can be seen, or is it completely random? I can say there's some big trends that can be seen. So number one, the first trend that I can definitely see is bad spending habits. So if people have bad spending habits, no matter how much they're earning, they get into trouble. So I put in another article about how Mike Tyson made 500 million or whatever he did. He became broke. But you might think, well, that's an extreme case. But I've seen a lot of people earn 20,000-30,000 US dollars a month, sometimes after tax with expat benefits and so on. And they're kind of living paycheck to paycheck. Ultimately, especially with the internet now and when people are drinking and whatever, you can always spend more than you earn or spend the same as what you earn. So spending habits are definitely a key point. But then if we ask ourselves a follow-up question and say, okay, so why are people spending, you know, too much? I would break it down into, firstly, I definitely think that in the overseas market, the lack of compulsory spending is a big one. So unlike in the Western world where you have to spend a certain amount of money on national insurance or certain taxes to fund your retirement income, of course, overseas, in the overseas market, it's completely off your own back. And in addition to that, I would say that another big thing, and it possibly doesn't sound very politically correct to say, but I think men who make bad choices with women in particular, but also women who make bad choices with men, is a huge factor here. What do I mean by that? Well, we all know that divorce is bad for our finances, right? But then we also know that if you spend too much time dating people, whining and dining people, that has a massive effect. And when I think about a lot of men I know, you know, British, American, European men who have came overseas, some of them on their third, fourth, fifth, or I've even known one guy who was a British guy who had six wives, six divorces. Now, that might be an extreme case, but obviously when you have that many divorces, that many legal fees, it all adds up. But even if you don't have that, if you're single but you're always dating, you're always spending too much money on dating, I would say that's a big reason why people are broke. I would say bad choices with dating partners and bad choices when it comes to alcohol, and sometimes one leads to the other. So for example, even a single person, they might be really, really stressed, have a really fantastic job, fantastic income, they could become financially free if they wanted to, but then on Friday, Saturday nights they get into the habit of spending a couple of hundred dollars in the bar, then they'll meet someone, then before they know it, they're having dates with that person, which could be positive if it ends up being a marriage and that marriage lasts forever. But you can see how that can build up. And conversely to that, as Stanley's report, or Stanley's book, The Millionaire Next Door, which I've recited before, shows, men in particular who have, just one wife who is supportive and is a great partner for life, that's one of the big commonalities of the wealthy. Of course, there are some wealthy men and women who have had one or two, three divorces, but generally speaking, just having one wife, one partner who's supportive, who, you know, is especially if they can kind of help you just relax and just think about work, or they can really help you when it comes to even your finances, that's a huge thing. And also, according to Stanley's work, but also something I've seen as well, and this is especially the case for men who have supportive wives and wives who are more frugal than them, and indeed parents who are more frugal than them, are more likely to be wealthy. Whereas men in particular who, have families and wives who are very materialistic, are less likely to be wealthy. Now also, we talked about spending habits, but linked to that is the second point, which is how much self-control somebody has. Now, even though this is partially related to spending, it's also related to their accounts themselves. Because let's say you have someone who has hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars in their account, or hundreds of millions even in their account. Ultimately, if they do really foolish things and keep buying individual stocks or speculating in certain coins, you know, that it could always end in despair, or at the very least, like most DIY investors, only get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%, just because they're speculating, they're not really investing. So people who have bad self-control, not only are they more likely to spend, you know, especially overspend on whether it's alcohol, dates, or whatever it is, even if they can actually have a surplus, people with bad spending habits also tend to have low self-control, which often means that even if they are kind of investing quite a lot of money into their investment account every single month, sometimes they're not really investing that money properly. They're just speculating. They're moving in and out. They're buying different shares. So, for example, I spoke to a headhunter in the Tokyo market a few months ago, and she told me that, quote, I know I shouldn't do, but, you know, I buy individual pharmaceutical stocks. So deep down, she knows it's silly to do what she's doing, but she somehow has this delusion that because she knows quite a bit about healthcare, she can stock pick. And that kind of attitude, that kind of speculating is very, very common. And as the example I just showed illustrates, it isn't just men who do this, but generally speaking, I would say men are more likely to overspend and especially speculate and be very egotistical with money than women. Okay, so those are the first two things. So we have, bad spending habits, but also number two, trying to speculate. Number three, an extremely low income. I would say I have seen no correlation between income and wealth above a certain level. In other words, it's perfectly possible for someone on a middle class income to become a millionaire or even a multimillionaire. But obviously, if you've got someone who doesn't have a job or is even on, say, the minimum wage, unless they're living with their family, it is true to say it's harder for them to become wealthy. Whereas, you know, someone on a middle class income just saving $500,000 a month could easily become a millionaire, and $2,000 or more, you know, a multimillionaire. And finally, I would say I have seen a correlation between those people who are readers and thinkers and are quite modest and humble and wealth. Because people who are quite methodical, even if they're not finance people, even if they're lawyers, even if they're doctors, if they can actually have this process of looking at the evidence, reading the evidence, internalizing it, being open-minded about the evidence, and not just thinking, oh, I'm Indian, so I should buy property because my family buy property, oh, I'm British, so I should buy property because my family have already told me. Now, you might think that's unusual, but believe me, it's not. 95% or more people are exceptionally, you know, influenced by their cultural upbringing towards money and risk and return. And very few people find it easy to get out of that habit. So those people who can really look at this in a, you know, methodical way, calmly and unemotionally read the evidence, then implement the evidence, and implement the evidence every single day, because that's much harder than you think. It's like going to the gym. It's easy to do it once a week, twice a week. But is it easy to do it 2 or 3 times a week for 30 years? No, it's tough. We all know we should go to the gym, right? But it doesn't mean it's easy to always implement it. So that's the fourth thing, I think, really. It's the key point is always implementing, because if you slack off even for 6 months, if you make one bad move and you, you know, something goes very wrong, like you buy an individual stock like a Lehman stock or an individual coin, I've seen several occasions where people have made one bad move and that's actually made them lose so much money. And this is especially the danger for people who have had good returns for 15, 20, 25 years, because they become complacent, they speculate more, their egos grow. So for example, 4 years ago, I met a British guy in Cambodia, did very well with property for 25 years. Then suddenly, he made a very, very bad error of a property he bought. And he admitted to me that now he realizes that he was overconfident in his abilities. And this is definitely a huge problem for people. They, when they get returns, especially short-term returns, or when they start implementing the evidence, they become complacent if they start getting good returns for 10, 15 or more years and they slack off. And that's definitely one of the things that reduces wealth, or at least it increases the risk exponentially.